Gentlemen, I really do think that we're at a teetering point for the Calgary Flames. Like, I know that in sports radio, we work in exaggeration and we blow things out of proportion and we work in absolutes a lot of the time. No way this is going to happen. And that's the greatest or the worst thing that I've ever seen. This is not exaggerating. This season is absolutely hanging in the balance for the Calgary Flames. And I think we all agree that this road trip could end their season and could potentially on the other side get it back on track. It can't. I don't think this road trip can make their season, but it certainly 100% can break it. And if this thing doesn't start to get back on track, something's going to happen. Something has to give here if this doesn't rectify itself. So whether we're talking about a big trade or a coaching change or a GM change or changing captains or all of these things that people on Overtime and people on our text line and people on Twitter have been talking about during this mess of a start to the season. One of those things absolutely will happen if this does not get figured out ASAP. And so, Klein, I don't think that I'm exaggerating when I say that this thing is teetering and you're at a spot right now, if you're the Flames, where you either fix it and fix it ASAP or something really is going to give here.
It certainly does have that feel, and there could have been some that thought that 7-1 against your heated rivals up north might have been the straw that broke that camel's back. Obviously, it wasn't, unless something happens in the next few minutes. But the only way I push back on that is this is not a normal season, and I think in a regular type of a season at this point in the campaign with things going this way, I would 100% agree with you, and I still like 85% agree with you, but it is really tough to imagine after just signing Jeff Ward to think that ownership would be cool paying him not to coach the Flames when you are getting $0 in tickets. And same thing from a general manager standpoint, that they would pay two people and one of them would not be general manager of this team. And trades are much more difficult because of that pesky little border thing. So, Will, I think in a normal season, I am 100% with Pat on this one. I do think there are a couple of hurdles that make it a little bit more difficult, but either way, whether we talk about something big happening or just how competitive this team can be, this feels like a very important week to 10 days that we're venturing upon.
I also am at the point to you guys, and I think, I don't know where you guys are, but like for me, I'm not going to sit here and say a coaching change would do nothing for this team, but like you fire Jeff Ward and really what does that do? You don't know when your new coach is going to come in. It's kicking the can down the road in a shortened year that you're not really guaranteeing your thing. Your chances of changing anything is probably not great. Couple week quarantine, depending who you hire and where he's from, where he's living. And then you've got to implement those systems. I could maybe squint to see that. We talked about how intense the heat was in Vancouver, and everyone was convinced something was going to happen. And the owner came down and said, no, we're not doing anything. This is who we're going to ride with the rest of the season. So the heat has not been anywhere intense here. Maybe for me anyways, hasn't felt like that. Because we haven't been talking about firings at the same rate that they were in Vancouver. I don't think anything's going to happen. Where I do agree, though, this road trip is absolutely make or break for the season, because this thing is essentially off the rails. We're talking about trying to, look at positives and, hey, it was a much better effort. Well, they still lost 7-1. This season is in danger of falling off the rails. So I think this is absolutely critical. It's so hard because what kind of impact or what kind of change can you do right now that you actually are confident is going to make an immediate impact? It's a little bit tougher. And that's why it's so
I don't think I don't think an immediate impact matters anymore, guys. I really don't.
Like, that's fine.
So when I talk about, I think it's more about just saving this right now. Will, I think it's about if you can do something that affects the overall long term, because whether they can save this season and make the playoffs or not, does anybody here believe that this team is truly on the trajectory to win a Stanley Cup right now?
No. And I've been on the opposite of that for a long, long time.
Exactly. And now this is going on. And so here's why I think that all of the things that you've just talked about, guys, are right. Financials, quarantine, borders, COVID season. Yes, there are more hurdles to doing something this year than there would be in any other year. But I cannot see how they would just let this season turn into a complete and utter death
march
without doing
something. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think it's going to be a coaching change.
I don't know what it's going to be. Like, sure. I don't know.
But yeah, you can't keep going with this. You can't.
And that's kind of where I'm at, Klein. Like, I know that financially it's harder to make move A or move B, and making a big trade if that's in column C, that's a whole lot more difficult. But you know what? If this doesn't figure itself out, and if they don't get their crap together, and they don't start playing like a functional hockey team on a regular basis, then I don't care if you don't get the player for 14 days. Like, that doesn't even matter at this point. Make the trade, because if the season's getting off the rails anyway, make the trade now. It's a 56-game year. It's a transition season to begin with. Put yourself in a better spot for October. And I'm not saying that it's not going to get back on the rails. I can't predict the future, but all I'm saying is that we are very close to a breaking point right now, I think, anyway.
Yeah, and if you are looking at a more future-type move, then I mean, who cares? Like, a first-round pick can travel across the border very easily. So if you are looking at making, as far as I think it's only 10 days for first-round picks. Oh, okay. I think that kind of, yeah, it's science. But no, I do think that if you are looking at making a more in-the-future move, then those would certainly be the types that can be made now. It's just kind of, what do you think this season can be for this team? But no, I agree that it kind of feels like we've kind of hit the ceiling of what this group can do, and I'm with you guys on that one. It's a fascinating time for this organization, for sure. From a coaching standpoint and from a player movement standpoint, I'm with you guys. As far as the GM is concerned, that one, I had a bit of pushback with this with the Vancouver one too. I don't know if, well, they lost 3 games in a row, so fire the general manager, is really the way to go about things. And I understand it's kind of a building one. I think if you're going to do that one, that's more of an off-season than an in-season one. But no, I do feel like, it just feels like the bubble is about to burst if this continues, whether it is player, general manager, or coach, Pat.
React to this, guys. Oh, go ahead, Will, and then I'll play.
No,
the
I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is this team cannot continue to go forward with the group they've got. And you know, people have screamed and yelled at us when we've talked about how this isn't the right combination of players in the past, but the evidence is clearly there to me. And you know, we're now at the point where anybody who brings up the 18-19 season as an argument, I think that holds no water. That is very clearly an anomaly. And that is certainly not what this team is. This is not a team that is a top-end group in the Western Conference.
React to this, gents. Here's Elliot Friedman from today with Merrick on the 31 Thoughts podcast. Fried's going to join us at the top of the hour live, but this was from earlier today on the 31 Thoughts podcast on the Flames.
Those players look really frustrated. I think Tkachuk was really frustrated by what happened. Like, that whole puck flipping thing led to a meeting that I just think sent them sideways. You know, I think Tkachuk feels that they don't want him to, or some of the players didn't want him to create a something every game. And I think he's confused by that. I think, you know, he understands only how to play the game a certain way. And I think he's questioning it now. You know, we just talked about Nashville, like the core got to a point where it was time to change it. I think they're at that point in Calgary. Markstrom charged down the ice twice. I think that was all about, we're not playing hard enough. We're not playing hard enough. We got to play harder. Mm-hmm. I just think that that group, they're not playing for each other. And I do think Brad Tree Living's been making a lot of calls on guys, not just Sam Bennett. And I think they're going to look at it and say, it's time we got to change up our group. It's hard to do right now because you can't bring guys over the border. But I think they will aggressively try to change their mix, not just for now, but in the future. I think you've probably at the point where you're looking at this group and saying, you know what, this group had its run and now we're going to do some other things.
Good little bass vibes in the background there on the 31 Thoughts podcast, Will. But there's Elliot. It says already it's happening. Already these things are being discussed. And he believes that the Flames are already aggressively chasing change with the lineup as we speak. More on this at 3, but your reaction to that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I think this should have happened in the offseason. I was, quite frankly, I was surprised at the changes that they made. And I kind of had just, I don't want to say accepted, but I kind of just went with the fact that, hey, it's COVID. The cap is flat. Things are what they are. They're just going to go ahead with this group. And you know, it is what it is. But I had gone in with the interpretation, like, I was never in the belief that they were 13 seconds away from a 3-1 series lead against Dallas. I never thought they were going to beat the Dallas Stars in a best of seven. I don't think the Winnipeg series was a playoff round. And I just felt like at the end of last season, and look, I have been probably the most negative on this group, on this show for the longest time. And I admit that, yeah, there's been certain times where some of my negativity has been out of line and uncalled for. Absolutely. But right now, I think it's very clear that everything I had said in the past and anyone who poked holes in any of my theories, like, it's all becoming true. The 18-19 season is not what this team is. They're not an elite Stanley Cup contender. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that Brad Treliving is now calling other people and looking to make some of these moves that I had thought were going to make in the offseason. And instead,
yeah.
You know, they sold the group with Dominic Simone and Nordstrom and Levo and essentially came back with the same group. Now, that being said, Markstrom and Tanev, two of the guys you brought in, have absolutely made this team better. This team would not have 8 wins if they didn't sign Jacob Markstrom. So I tip my hat there. But, yeah, I just think it's you know, now it's unfortunately, like a lot of times in this market, too little too late. But they're going to make the changes now and – you know, I think, you know, prepare yourself for the next couple of years to look like transition. But yeah, I think Elliot's right. It's pretty clear this group has had its run and now changes have to be made.
Well, and you know, Klein, to the point about the summer, like I'm okay with them not making the types of moves that we're talking about in the summer. I'm okay with them saying, well, you know what? Value is not going to be at its highest and COVID makes things tough and the economic situation makes things tough. Like, I get that. And I get that you're not just going to make a trade for the sake of making a trade. However, if you're convinced that it's not going to work, if you're convinced that this group is not going to get it done and it's time to make a change, like maybe you do have to change your approach a little bit in terms of what you'd be looking for. Like, for instance, if you were looking to trade a player in the summertime and get something back for him of commensurate value that could impact your team right now, say a top six or a top line winger for a top line winger type thing. You know, for, I hate throwing names out there, but Johnny Gaudreau was the big name in the summertime. If you were looking for a trade that sent Gaudreau one place and sent you another top six winger the other place, like Dubois for Laine, and that wasn't there, well, then I get you not making that deal in the summertime. But as of right now, with the way things going on are right now, maybe you change your philosophy. And maybe if you don't get what you were looking for in the summertime and you change the type of deal that you're okay, I'm not saying getting less value, but the type of value that you get back. Maybe you're talking about prospects and picks now as opposed to a guy that can come in right now and help you the same way. Maybe you do have to change your approach if you're the Flames.
Yeah, and I thought that they should have made a move in the offseason, but then understood that they couldn't because of the financial landscape of the league and the salary cap staying flat. But I thought that after the Dallas series, it was time. And I understand, okay, we can't make this deal, so let's pivot and just try to get the most we can out of this group. You go out and add a number one goalie, you add a lockdown defenseman, both of whom probably like two of the top three players on your team so far this season. So it's tough to get too worked up about those. But no, I do think that shifting your mindset from a trade needs to happen and mix things up too well, let's try to get the most out of this, you can have that, but I think you can clearly see now that's not going to happen. To Elliot's quote there, the part that concerns me is the Tkachuk factor in this whole thing, and not about Matthew Tkachuk, but the guys around him, because if I'm a Flames fan or if I'm Flames management and I hear that you had a closed-door meeting to tell that dude to change how to play, then everyone's gone. Like, absolute scorched earth. Because there, if you took a poll of Flames fans or hockey people or anything and said, of all the players on the Flames, whose style of play should be emulated more, most would say Matthew Tkachuk. Everyone needs to get to his level instead of him going down to everyone else's. That is damn embarrassing. There, hey, could you not drag us into a thing hey, could any of you try at some point? Like, we're having these conversations about this team and saying, well, yeah, it was 7-1, but boy, they tried harder. Like, that I'd be pulling my hair out. And to have a closed-door meeting to tell the spark on your team to be less of a spark, it's embarrassing. And that tells me something is broken. So that is a gigantic red flag for me.
Mm. Well, and, you know, I'm also, like, and it might be a symptom of that, Will, but I'm also a little concerned about Tkachuk, too. Like, it might be for those reasons that we're seeing some of the things that we're seeing from him, but I had to not like that body language on Saturday night from a few guys, him included, and I know that it's a 7-1 game, and I know that those aren't fun to play in, but man, that is your number one rival. Remember the last time an Oilers-Flames game got out of hand, Will? Tkachuk was fighting Ethan Bear, and Cam Talbot wanted to rip the head off of Sam Gagne, and Talbot fought Mike Smith. That was an 8-3 game, and it got completely away from the Flames, and that's when all hell broke loose. There was none, and I'm not saying that we needed to see Koskinen and Markstrom go on Saturday night, but I'm saying there was zero pushback whatsoever. There was, we have said so many times, one of the issues with this team is allowing things to happen and being okay with things to happen, and I saw that once again on Saturday.
And I go back, it's a theme, man. Like, I go back, you can roll my take on the Tkachuk Muzzin puck flip and play it right now. It's the same thing. Like, go watch that tape. I don't care if anybody didn't see it. The only guy with any sort of pulse or fight in that entire clip is number 19. Did he go over the top a little bit by slamming the gate and, you know, throwing the fit of the water bottles on the side? Sure. But he's the only one who's got to ever give a bleep. That's the only guy. When have you seen Monahan get mad? When have you seen Giordano get mad? I've never seen Gaudreau mad at anybody but the guys in pinstripes. The only guys that he ever shows emotions on is when he's getting hooked and holed and wants a call. God, I would hate for you to have a puck battle without much emotion, Johnny. That's the bottom line. And you know what? If it continues down this road, you may as well play the clips out of Winnipeg or Columbus with Pierre-Luc Dubois, because we're probably only a year away from that guy asking for a trade. So whether it's trades now, that this is not a guy who needs to be toning down the way he plays.
Yep.
This team, for as long as I can remember, has been way too easy to play against. And there's a reason why a guy like Matthew Tkachuk comes in and immediately becomes a fan favorite. Because all of a sudden, this team and their fans are watching somebody who's got a little bit of fight.
Yeah.
So, hey, hate to tell it, he's the guy who's trying to change the culture, and now he's trying to upset the apple cart, and everybody else is like, whoa, 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 you can't be that emotional. Easy now.
Well, and that's why, I think that you could probably understand why the guy doesn't look quite like himself right now. If all of that is true, and Elliot will fill us in at the top of the hour here, if all of that is true, I'd be a little rattled, too. I'd be absolutely rattled with the situation. It's Will, it's Peter, it's Pat, it's Logan. This is The Big Show. Hour 2 is underway of the program, live in the Iconic studio this afternoon, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Telecommunications, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. Calgary, Toronto tonight. We haven't even talked about the game, which just happens to be against the best team in the NHL, both in points and points percentage. 14-3-2 are the Leafs. Auston Matthews has 18 goals in 19 games. Now, no Jake Muzzin for tonight, likely on Wednesday as well, and for the next little bit. He's got a broken bone on his face, so they're waiting on a timeline there. No Zach Hyman, no Joe Thornton either, so a shorthanded Maple Leafs team tonight. As for the Flames, they will make some changes. Looks like Sean Monahan comes back in. He's officially a game-time decision after missing the last two games with a lower body injury, but you can pretty much pin him in for playing tonight. Monahan played with Gaudreau or skated with Gaudreau and Bennett at practice today. At morning skate, it was Lindholm between Mangiapane and Tkachuk. He had Backlund between Dubé and Milan Lucic. And those were kind of the top nine forwards. As for the fourth line tonight, it'll be Glenn Godden playing the second game with Nordstrom and Levo on the back, Giordano Anderson, Hanifin Tanev, and then Valimaki with Shillington. It looks like Oliver Shillington will make his first game or first appearance of the season, first appearance in a year in an NHL game. And Jacob Markstrom starts in net. Just quickly as we wrap up the segment, Klein, and then to you, Will, anything that sticks out or catches your eye about lineup changes and lineup tonight?
Oliver Shillington. Go ahead, Will.
Sorry, I did. It was weird. I didn't know who to go there. I just curious to see Oliver Shillington draws back in. First time in a calendar year for this guy. Last NHL action came February 23rd, 2020. Not an easy spot to go into for Shillington. Nesterov struggling, though. A chance to potentially grab that sixth spot for the next couple of games. And, you know, if he plays well, maybe he's back in again on Wednesday. But not an easy spot for him. But that's the one thing that jumps out to me. And I would say, Pete, that getting Monahan back is a massive boost, because when this team is down a forward or two, you really notice that depth or lack thereof. And you saw that over the last couple of games when he was out. So getting him back is a big, big boost. And we'll see if that line with Bennett can maybe build on any bit of something they had from games prior.
Not just a forward, but a center. And that's where this team really hurts right now, especially with Derek Ryan out. So that just makes the center position look that much better. I'm always going to be a fan of Mangiapane with that top group with Lindholm and Tkachuk. So a big fan of that shift being made. But just interested to see, again, this is a tough Leafs team with that top six the way it is. How do you match up tonight against Toronto? Again, you don't really have a whole lot of say in that because it's on the road. So I guess it's more how does Toronto plan to attack the Flames? I'll be fascinated with that. But this is, for a team that needs to get back on track, this is a really tough team to get back on track against, Pat.
For sure. They're going back to Markstrom. I'm a little worried about Markstrom's workload right now. I really am. And maybe it's confirmation bias on my part, but you know, we talked a lot about whether or not Riddick should go in, and maybe I wasn't overthinking myself on that one, because the last couple of games from Markstrom, he's looked like a different goaltender. And I thought there, and look, I get it, it's not easy, and I know that this team was trying to find their game, but I do worry about that. We'll see how he plays tonight, and we'll see how things go. But Markstrom gets the start. Freddie Anderson on the other side for Toronto.